Welcome, everyone. This is The LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, October 6th, 2007. As you know, we are live from 3 to 4 Eastern Time in the United States. We are on www.larouchepub.com. I will be the host today, Marcia Mary Baker. I'm the economics co-editor for the EIR News Service. And today we have speaking with us some guests, state legislators, who are taking the national and international lead on forcing federal emergency action to deal with the greatest crash in modern history. I mean financial, I mean economic. I will introduce them in a few seconds, but on this topic, that it's time to deal with this crash, Mr. LaRouche, Lyndon LaRouche himself, will be giving a live webcast, an international interactive show, October 10, that's Wednesday, next Wednesday, October 10, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and that will be beamed out of Washington, D.C. on his political action committee. It's www.larouchepac.com, LaRouchePac.com. And now for our focus on the tremendous state and local demand and motion for emergency action on the home foreclosure crisis, the bank credit crisis. It's around the LaRouche Political Action Committee draft for national action called the Homeowners and Bank Protection Act. I welcome on live with us from Missouri, from St. Louis, Representative Juanita Walton. Welcome, Juanita.
Thank you for having me.
And she's a representative of senior stature from the 81st District in St. Louis. We'll get to her in a minute. But from Pennsylvania, from Philadelphia, who has likewise a longtime leader in the Pennsylvania legislature, Representative Harold James. Welcome, Harold.
Well, good afternoon. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
And I'll say right now that Harold's speaking to us. He's on the road. He's out in Indianapolis, Indiana, I believe. And so we're glad, and we're going to take advantage that you have about 30 minutes. We're live for the hour. Juanita likewise has the first 30 or maybe some more minutes. Many people are having questions. And so also here in the studio, we welcome the LaRouche Youth Movement's War Room representative for all of this action, Matthew Ogden. Welcome, Matt. And I think people can hear him. He has a national overview. What we're going to do is let's go to, we also hope that we have from Detroit, and he'll just announce himself when he's able to connect, former Representative Lamar Lemons III. And we hope for that. We'll let you know. But Representative Walton in Missouri, Representative James in Pennsylvania, and Lamar Lemons III's father out in Michigan from Detroit have all introduced in the last few weeks emergency resolutions in their state legislatures or taken similar action, which has dozens of co-endorsements for this emergency firewall action to protect homeowners, households, and the banking system. So we'll get some breaking developments in a minute from the LaRouche Youth Movement, who's in about 30 states right now. But we're also going to, I welcome Lamar Lemons. You're now with us from Detroit, right?
I am here.
Okay, great to have you. So we're going to go right to a couple rounds of discussion directly from Missouri, Michigan, and Pennsylvania on the conditions that led you legislators to immediately launch some call that we have to have emergency federal action. I mean the housing, the economic decay, the collapse. Juanita, there in Missouri and St. Louis, you used to be home to all three automakers and a major powerhouse in the Mississippi Valley. Can you tell us what the situation is with the home foreclosures or anything else?
Well, I'll just speak in reference to our area. We've increased by 115%, so that's dramatic. In fact, I was talking to a young lady that went to college with me, and she said that her, I guess, arm came, and her monthly payment is up by $300 a month. So, and she's self-employed. But at any rate, we're having a lot of foreclosures. My husband is a bankruptcy attorney, so he gets a lot of foreclosures coming in and a lot that's coming around. and nothing's being done in terms of trying to prepare for the people. What's happening when they are displaced? Where are they going? So we have a lot of that going on.
And Harold, in Pennsylvania, you're right there in the middle of everything, one of the top worst states in the country. What's your situation?
Well, I guess it's the same as Juanita had indicated, but just after being advised by, Phil Valenti and the Youth LaRouche Movement and Rochelle, I got all this information as it relates to the homeowners' foreclosures and just seeing how many foreclosures there are in our city in Philadelphia. And in Pennsylvania, it's alarming, and to where we have a special program, a special out of our Department of Household Finance. Well, not the Household Finance, we call it Household Finance, where we have a program to try to help assist homeowners who lose mortgages, and it's just overwhelmed in terms of people that are losing mortgages. So when this was brought to my attention, I put the co-sponsorship memo out asking Congress to do something right away and was able to get about 41 co-sponsors.
Right, and I guess it's if people want to look it up, H.R. 418, is that right?
That's correct. That's the House resolution that I proposed.
And you have maybe 40 or 50 co-sponsors by now?
I have about 40 close, probably over 41, and both Republican and Democrat.
Right. That's very...
That's excellent. And in our state, Missouri, we're not in session, so I have mine drafted. I did submit it to the NBCSL, which is the National Black Caucus of State Legislators. In fact, we had our meeting last month in Washington and looked at items that we should have as our agenda for 2008, and that was the number one thing that was on the list, the foreclosures, and addressing that issue and speaking to Congress on that issue.
Right. Well, let's go to Lamar. You're speaking from Detroit, and I know that over the last few years, you've been leading walking tours in ruined neighborhoods to call attention to this.
As a matter of fact, we're here in Detroit now. I say that this is the belly of the beast, all the home of all the big three, and there's very little big three inside the city of Detroit. They have headquarters here in Auburn Hills, Dearborn, and the city of Detroit. Those are suburbs. But the reality is that there's little little auto factoring, manufacturing going on here. There's massive amounts of homeowner closures. And so when Linda LaRouche, who was the only person I know to come out with a national program to form a moratorium on the foreclosures, and we need it because in our house district it is the number five in the entire United States, and these are all poor and working class people in the first place, and the casinos that we have built as so-called economic solutions haven't worked. As a matter of fact, it has accelerated, because people have been desperate and they've been gambling and they've been losing. It's accelerated the rate of foreclosures here in the city of Detroit. And no city in the nation, cumulatively of its size, has had more foreclosures than the city of Detroit.
Right. I think you're number two, or vying for number one, Livonia, Detroit, and several other places.
Right. Livonia is a suburb of Detroit.
Right.
Okay. And so we're really number one as a large city. Detroit having at one point, at the last census, approximately 1 million. And at the next census, we're probably going to be down below 750,000. So in the 10-year period, we probably lost 250,000 people. And we've been declining from our peak for the last couple of decades. And it's been accelerated with this economic decline.
Right. And in Pennsylvania, Harold, you, likewise, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh area, you're ranking among the top, and as you say, people were swamped with the agencies that might give some advice were swamped, and there has been a promotion.
Overwhelmed. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're overwhelmed. In fact, Phil Valenti was in Lancaster County, and which is the middle of the state. So at each end of the state and in the middle, people are losing their homes, and I think
I think there were two banks that I understand that might have crashed, one on the internet and one out of somewhere, I think, near Cincinnati in Ohio.
Right. The ones you mentioned, Harold, one was called Net Bank, an internet, and the other one is called Miami Valley Bank. As you say, it had 80 million so-called assets, but it's just blown and shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said about Lancaster, Berks County, that area, I understand that's one of the national scandals in the sense that for 20 years there was some local shyster operation to sell what they call wraparound mortgages, kind of phantom loans.
Yeah, that's correct. And it just so happened that President Bush was up there the same day he vetoed the S-CHIP program. Going to come up there in Lancaster County trying to build people up when people losing their homes.
Because
and not as my children.
And this is some quite a Republican Party area, is that right?
That's correct.
So it gives an insight why you have such a bipartisan support for your emergency measure?
That's correct. And we go back in session. We had a session this week. We go back in next week.
So
in Michigan, we were able to garner in one day 21 co-sponsors, and one or two of them Republicans. You know, they're leery when something just comes up and moves that quick. So we didn't get co-sponsorship, but we are going to do a joint House concurrent resolution, which would be both chambers, as well as we'll open it up for co-sponsorship whenever we get. And that's where the LaRouche Youth Movement comes in. Whenever we get movement on the bill, it's been assigned to a committee, and when we open it up, we will when we move the legislation, if it's a hearing, which I think we should have a hearing so that we can discuss and lay out what's really happening, and then we'll move to the floor. Once on the floor, we'll open it up for co-sponsorship, and I assure you it will be massive bipartisan, and you can expect at least the majority of the members of the legislature to support it, being the majority in being 56 or more supporting. So it'll send a real message to Congress as soon as we can get movement on the legislation. And the only thing that's held us back from getting movement is that the economic crisis here in Michigan has been so that it on the front burner has been to deal with the almost $2 billion annual budget deficit. Budget deficit that we've had. So we've had to try to raise taxes, trying to get sales tax raises. We're trying to balance the books as our Constitution mandates.
Right. You've been in the national news because you had a partial government shutdown. Is that right?
Right. We shut down for about 6 hours until we were able to even the Republicans who have control over the Senate realized that they had to do something, or the public would take the ire out on them. So they did concede to a partial tax increase, but because they're trying to cut, what they want to cut is of course children and emergency human services, social services, and the like. And we've already cut that down to the bare bones. We've got massive homeless problems that we've never had here in Detroit. And that's another byproduct. You ask where the people are going, they're becoming homeless. They're moving in with other relatives, and they're packing in and living in conditions that is unprecedented here in the Motor City.
And Juanita, you were going to say more on that?
Right. In fact, when I was in Washington the other week, my husband and I walked from the hotel to Union Station. And he happened to see someone homeless who had set up. And it looked like they had just kind of been there for quite some time in terms of the blankets and everything that they had. They had quite a bit of stuff they accumulated. And he was just, like, he was shocked to see it. I said, and that, you know, he saw a lot of homelessness and even people that had mental illness walking around that you could visibly see. And this was in a two-block walk. And I guess he was saying he really hadn't seen it. And I said, look, only thing you have to do is get out of your car in St. Louis, walk downtown, and you'll see the same thing. They're in the park in the city of St. Louis and throughout the city. You just have to get out your car and walk, start looking. It's there. It's everywhere. I remember going to San Francisco at one time, and it was very rampant there in terms of the homelessness. So, it's happening around us. You just have to open up your eyes and see.
Right. Let me ask Harold, so that we still take advantage of your remaining time. I understand you've been involved in taking this to national institutions. Were you in Washington for the Congressional Black Caucus?
Yes, I had the opportunity of being there and the pleasure of the president of the National Women's Organization. That's why I need it.
Yes.
And that was last week?
Yes.
Yes, it was last week. We met, I guess, on Friday of last week. And as I said, we talked about our priorities, and we had an organization to give us some items that were top 8 or top 10 items for us to look at to pick out some things. And as I said, the first thing that was on the list was the foreclosures. And as I said, I mentioned that I had submitted something on that, and we need to address it, that issue. So I'm sure it'll be on our agenda for 2008. And I understand in terms of the urgency of this matter, of course, that our organization moves on their own time, and the legislature, those that are in session, you know, can try to deal with the issue at this point in time. But we're trying to cut as many avenues as possible, organizations that can address this as possible.
Right. Well, let me throw in to all of you, Juanita Lamar and Harold and Matt, that the Executive Intelligence Review is putting out new ammunition in the next few days. I have in front of me a chart we'll send you of the volume, the amount of billions of dollars of resets of these adjustable rate mortgages by month, you know. And the time period you talked about, Juanita, that is November, January, February, March. It's soaring. It's going to be higher every month, next month through March.
Mm-hmm.
It involves about $120 billion, projected by next month, of volume of mortgages that will be have an additional $300 or more dollars that the homeowner suddenly supposed to come up with. So that's the speaking of the urgency of the timetable.
You know, the hedge fund these hedge fund speculators need to eat the they're speculators. They made a bad investment. They're manipulating the system, and they need to eat this loss. That's number one. And Linda LaRouche is the only one I hear. And the youth movement are the only one I hear saying where placing the blame where it properly belongs. They're also so greedy banks, but we can't and we got to be pragmatic. And LaRouche has been pragmatic about saving the banks as well as having a moratorium on home foreclosure, and that's the direction we have to do move in. Also, I will be meeting with my congresswoman, who also happens to be the chair of the Black Caucus, and I'll also be meeting with the chair, also being here in Detroit, with the chair of the Judiciary House Judiciary Committee, John Conyers, and we're the two congressmen from the city of Detroit, and address. And I have spoken with John, and he is 100% supportive of it. We've got to get someone to introduce it in Congress, and now we have control of the House. There's no reason whatsoever that we shouldn't get some movement in Congress on this legislation.
I've also spoken to my congressman also, Congressman Clay, in reference to the issue, and he's very aware of it. I know he's talked to people from the LaRouche organization. I'm not sure if he's going to introduce anything, but I would think he would be in support.
Now, Harold James, if you're still on from Pennsylvania, You also have on the Republican side Senator Spector, who wants to pay attention to the issue. But you've had a Representative Konjorski from the Wilkes-Barre area that's completely bombed out old coal mining milling area, who said a couple weeks ago that the entire financial system is coming down. So do you see any motion from your delegation or anywhere in the country you've been speaking to people about?
Well, I wrote all three of our congressmen in Philadelphia, that's Brady, Fatah, and Allison Schwartz, and I sent them a letter this week. I haven't got a response from them. I sent them copies of the resolution, but I haven't had a response yet. But I'm sure the youth LaRouche movement would get some kind of response this week.
Well, one thing I'll throw in here in case you have more comments is that thanks to the kind of actions with dozens of state-level supporters by name that you've all initiated, and it was all in September, October 3rd, there was at least signs of life where there was a press conference in Washington, D.C., by Senator Reid, Nancy Pelosi, Barney Frank, and so forth. However, part of the outcome was just that Barney Frank said we should appoint an advisor to the White House to maybe look into it, like Jack Kemp. So we still have a ways to go.
Well, at least acknowledging that something should be done right now, even if it's wrong. But you're right. It's going to take drastic, Roosevelt-esque like action, and it's what Lynn has been prophesizing for years. It's been moving slowly, but it's coming to fruition. And if we don't take the action now, then it's going to make it more difficult in the future.
Right, and in fact, that press conference I just mentioned held up a map of the country to show the scope, over 26 states with 1,000 mortgage foreclosures a month. But, of course, Pennsylvania is something like 4,000 a month. One thing is Matt Ogden has some breaking news of the scope of this, and then maybe even if Harold has to leave, he still would want to hear about it right now. Go ahead, Matt.
The news is that the first legislative body in the nation has actually passed the resolution for the HBPA. Pontiac, Michigan City Council passed a resolution day before yesterday calling for Congress to act immediately on the HBPA. And Mr. Lamar Lemons knows that Pontiac is right in the region of Detroit, Livonia, Warren, Troy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pontiac, again, is another suburb, a half hour outside the city of Detroit. And what I would ask the Roots Movement is to contact the state representative, who I noticed did not sign on to the resolution, from Pontiac. He actually lives in Auburn Hills, which is where the Pistons play, which is right outside of Pontiac. But his constituents, he represents Pontiac, and so I think it's imperative that you guys get on him and have him take some a stand on this, because this is something that can make or break him in the next election in 08.
Good point.
Matt, also, there's Illinois, or do you want to?
The other breaking news is that just like in the three states that we have represented on the line, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Missouri, another state has also taken the initiative to submit a draft resolution to at least circulate. The Illinois state legislature now has a draft resolution circulating and collecting co-signers.
I think that was filed October 5. And I throw in a pitch here. Look for the texts of these resolutions, if you want to, on the LaRouche Political Action Committee website. And anyone listening in, by the way, you're welcome to send in questions now or after the show. We'll get to them, even over the next few days. But go to your own legislature and take the model of Pennsylvania or Missouri or Michigan.
Also, in the city of Kansas City, Missouri, Councilman Terry Riley has the resolution there. And when I talked to him, I know he said he had two more than what he needed to have and signatures. I think they have 12, and he had people in their legislative branch, and I think he had 7 signatures. So he has it there. And then St. Louis, Missouri, Alderman Charles Quincy Troop has it there. So I don't know if they've been introduced or not, but I know that they collect signatures.
And Harold, this first got introduced in Harrisburg, again, you're saying the mood is it's throughout the state. There are places like Lancaster and Berks, Republican area, that are really internationally, you know, it's been reported all over Europe how they're blowing out. What is the mood in Harrisburg?
Well, the mood in Harrisburg is that to have that many legislators sign on with a bipartisan effort, they're concerned about they're getting flack from their constituents about people losing their homes. And as I heard someone else say on the phone, people moving in with people losing their homes, and that the agencies that's supposed to be able to help them are being overwhelmed. So we are concerned about that. So we need Washington to do something. I mean, the president, he's going to veto the S-CHIP program that's going to cut out insurance for a bunch of kids, and now we don't have enough money to help in terms of saving people homes.
Right. And, Harold, I'll throw in, you go back far enough, you may remember when a lot of the steel mills were shutting down. There was a 1983 emergency Pennsylvania law to keep steel workers in their homes. And that was a state, I understand that was revived in recent months, the 1983 steel worker home emergency law. But it wasn't enough. It's you can't have a thimble full of help, right?
Right. Well, I don't remember that, but that's something that we need to look at in terms of it has been revised, and if it's not been enough, we sure need to improve on that.
Right.
Well, together with all of this motion all over the country, with the legislative bodies circulating these resolutions, the LaRouche PAC is also circulating a mass petition for individuals all around the country who are elected officials to also sign their personal endorsements. So at this point, we now have almost 60 personal endorsers, 60 signers onto this petition, 60 elected officials who have signed their endorsements, plus over 100 important labor leaders. And these endorsements represent major minority groups, African-American, Latino, American Indian, even some representatives up in the South Dakota area. So this represents a large group of the population who has decided to turn the politics of the country upside down. Instead of waiting for Nancy Pelosi to say, okay, waiting for permission to act from Capitol Hill, we've now given them the demand for action from the state and local level elected officials. So this is what the LaRouche PAC has been involved in, is in the LaRouche Youth Movement, turning the politics of the country upside down.
I guess I have a question myself in left field in terms of who's been targeted in reference to the subprime. It looks like a lot of minorities have been targeted in terms of the subprime loans. Now, why, I don't know, but that's what it appears. And I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there for feedback from others.
I think you're...
here in Detroit.
Go ahead, Lamar.
We've observed that also here in Detroit. It is disproportionate. It's hitting across all lines and all racial lines, but minorities especially, because minorities were also given the worst rates in the first place. And the minorities also received the more were put in these those so-called flexible rate, variable rate loans. And so you'll find the disparity there among minorities because of the racism of the banking industry in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And in Philadelphia, you probably see that directly, Harold, in addition to Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, all the places.
Yeah, without a doubt, it's very disproportionate.
You know, the example of Lancaster County, Harold, I was personally up in Harrisburg lobbying for co-signers onto your resolution. And this was the example of Lancaster in some ways makes the point that this crisis is not just hitting the very poor, the lower income brackets, but it's hitting everybody.
It certainly is.
This was a vivid display, a vivid manifestation of the general collapse that's happening all over the country. This sort of hit people right in the face. It was on the headlines in the morning news, the evening news, and a lot of the people who we spoke to up in Harrisburg all of a sudden realized that this crisis actually is as bad as we're saying it is.
You know, you mentioned earlier about Livonia. That is a white, lily-white suburb. In fact, at one point, it was known as the whitest city in America, and which is outside the city of Detroit, Detroit being the most segregated city in America or region in America. And Livonia was Detroit was number two. But Livonia, that lily white city, was number one in foreclosures as a percentage. So it does cut across or racial lines. But when you look through, you always see, as all things, the depression, recession, and everything else, it always disproportionately affects African Americans.
Did you get a chance to read this article written by Jim Rokakis, the Cuyahoga County Treasurer, who wrote this dramatic op-ed in the Washington Post of last Sunday about Cleveland's Slavic village?
No, I haven't.
This is a really dramatic example of what Mr. LaRouche was warning about way back in the beginning of September, that this foreclosures crisis causes dynamic collapses, not just affecting people who personally lose their personal homes, but it causes a whole dynamic of decay in the regions, in the neighborhoods of the country that these are concentrated in. And so he gave the example of Cleveland's Slavic village, which has whole streets that have been abandoned, whole city blocks that have been abandoned. This is a dramatic example of the kind of social crisis that the collapsing economic system is causing all across the country.
I know. I talked to one of the ladies from Toledo, Ohio, this weekend, and they're probably within the top 10 of foreclosures across the country. And she was saying what generally happens is once the family moves out, then you have folks going in there vandalizing the building. So that thing is happening in terms of blocks and then vandalizing that's going on. It's something else.
Right. There are the copper getting a little money from taking the copper pipes.
Mm-hmm.
Every state, Pennsylvania, has been in the headlines for that.
Yeah, so is Detroit.
Right. And those of you in Missouri and Pennsylvania, too, you may have a direct report on your or surrounding states on this budget crisis like the state of Michigan was in, because Maryland has a $1.7 billion deficit, Virginia $600 million. Florida's in emergency session now. But so the collapse of the economy and the housing situation means the revenues of the state level are plunging.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania, we just came through a budget crisis, and where we had to stay shut down for a couple of days. But we're going into next year, and I'm gonna have to get off now. But I just want to thank you for allowing me to be on and share this opportunity to talk about these foreclosures, and hopefully, with the LaRouche movement and LaRouche working as hard as can, that we get Congress need to do. And I just want to congratulate Juanita on her election to president of the National Women's Organization. I might not be saying it right, but you can say it right, Juanita.
Yeah, congratulations, yeah, so, Juanita.
Thank you. National Order of Women Legislators. Thank you. But, yeah, it's very interesting in terms of the foreclosures of the economy. Our state, a couple of years ago, to help balance its budget, threw over 100,000 people off Medicaid. So each state does something different to balance their budget.
Thank you very much, Harold. And Michigan, that's what you said. Michigan also cut Medicaid just last week. Is that right?
That's correct.
And that means everything. They get down to the nitty-gritty.
Right.
Dental thrown out. Is that
right?
The...
Well, of course, we're fighting to revisit that. But we had to do that to move the first part of the budget just to balance the books, because we had a shutdown for 4 hours. That night, and the legislature had been in session for days with a call of the house, which means you cannot leave. The state troopers come and get you by law, and so we were literally in for 2 weeks unable to leave or to go very far while we negotiated that. It's something that was unprecedented here in our state.
And now you have a temporary budget or a 30-day budget?
Part of the budget is a 30-day budget as we try to figure out where we're going to raise money. Taxes in itself is not going to do it, because you can't tax people when they don't have anything. It's going to take emergency action from the Congress.
Right.
And the sooner people realize that, the better we'll all be. It's going to take a Roosevelt-esque, because right now this is just the tip of the iceberg. And so if we don't want to go into full-fledged depression, which Detroit actually is in full-fledged depression, but the rest of the nation, doesn't want to go into a full-fledged depression, then emergency action needs to be taken immediately.
Now, we had a couple of banks to be taken over by FDIC. I think was one in Ohio and one in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I think Miami, Ohio.
That's right. Miami Valley, it's called, right.
Okay. Right. So, got to pay attention.
Right. And Juanita, you know, the last 2 weeks of October tends to be when these regional banks, not the big international names, mm-hmm. they issue their quarterly reports, and that's one occasion, that time period after October 15 when you're going to see more.
Interesting.
Right. Now,
Juanita, I just want to say that with your newly appointed or elected position, you know, if you can contact send copies of the resolution to all the black legislators and all the women legislators, maybe we can also get that would be a way to most expeditiously move this in multi states. Anything you need us to do here in Detroit, Michigan, you can count on it. So just give us a call.
Okay, I appreciate it. You're already working on your congresswoman and
yes.
What about your mayor and your city delegation?
Right, and I will get the city council, which is the only body that can do any type of resolution on it.
Excellent.
I will get the city council to do a resolution here. You can count on it. It'll be done.
Excellent.
Well, this is what we've noticed. The LaRouche Youth Movement is deployed all over the country in this campaign, and we've noticed that every breakthrough that happens anywhere is amplified and magnified and translated into other breakthroughs that happen elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We have a completely coordinated campaign across the country where we can take every development and crossfire it and show mm-hmm. other legislative bodies and show other leaders that this is a nationwide fight that they can be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there alone.
Right.
We'll just throw out, Matt might throw out to you a few places right now. Harley Schlanger, some of you know, and the LaRouche Youth Movement have been in Austin, Texas. They're not supposed to meet for 2 years, but something can happen there anyway.
We also have youth involved. We also have youth action happening all over the Northeast. We've been going to the New Hampshire State House, the New York State House, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, city councils all around this region. We have action, obviously, in Pennsylvania with Harold, westward into Ohio and Indiana and Michigan and Illinois, and also work all up and down the West Coast with the youth movement, and then the networks that we have into places like Missouri and Texas and South Dakota. And in fact, Marcia and I are sitting right here in Ground Zero, Loudoun County, Virginia, and we are not leaving Northern Virginia out of the campaign to put a moratorium on foreclosures. Now, very interestingly, one of your collaborators, Representative former State Senator Joe Neal from Nevada, is also putting his hat into the ring, and he got together with four members of the LaRouche Youth Movement in Las Vegas 2 days ago, and they had a good conversation, ran into the governor of Nevada, which is important because Nevada is, in terms of states, Nevada is number one in the nation being hit by foreclosures. One out of every 150 homes in Nevada.
And that's because most of that population there are recent migrants there. It was the booming. It was the fastest growing state in the nation for the last 4 or 5 years. And now, so they got really, people bought homes there, and they really got hit with these hedge fund scams.
That's right. The casino economy is not only located inside the casinos themselves.
That's right.
But the casino economy has taken over the entire country.
No, it certainly has. Here in Detroit, we have three casinos, and without them, we would go bankrupt. But the citizens are going bankrupt instead.
And homelessness
has been so. You know, you can only squeeze the balloon, and it's going to go somewhere.
And
right.
And one sign of that, Lamar, you've said over the years, you've been close to the need for emergency food relief.
Yes.
Harold isn't on the line anymore, but the Harrisburg State Agency said they're overwhelmed because people are looking for food relief so they can pay one more month of their home. What do you see there in your region?
Very similar, the same thing, massive. The pantries here, the nonprofits, have all been overwhelmed, and the pantries have been cleared out, and Bush is still president.
Right.
And also, they're beginning to put their mortgages on their credit card. So
right.
That's like credit card.
Yeah, that's another. At first, people did the opposite initially. They put their credit card on their mortgage. You know, they had maxed out their credit cards. They would go refinance, get in one of these variable loans or one of these banking scams, and put all their credit, take the money out of their home to pay off their credit card. And
mm-hmm.
and now they're putting the credit, they're going back the other way, putting on there, so it becomes a Ponzi scheme for the homeowner trying to rob Peter to pay Paul in a way to try to survive, to keep from being homeless.
Right. One update I'll throw in here. It was in the last 48 hours that the head of the FDIC, Sheila Bair, did call for a moratorium on increasing these adjustable rate mortgages. In other words, keep a mortgage set at some level, not increasing it. Now, that just is shadow boxing. All of these individual things won't do the kind of thing that the resolutions that you're calling for demand, which we have a whole banking credit crisis and millions of homeowners.
Exactly.
But it just showed that how there's begrudging rear guard recognition in Washington, D.C. to the crisis whose dimensions you're just describing. One thing, up in Michigan, Lamar, you must find certain people. What do you find about people looking at the fact that you took the lead in the last 2 years? I think it was in May 2005 you led a resolution for emergency action on the auto industry, which did not come to pass.
Right, but guess what? We reintroduced it, so it is still also there in committee. So you know we're going on daunted. And before, the excuse was that, of course, the Republicans controlled the House here in Michigan before November. But now, since November, we've had it. And so I've got commitments that as soon as we get through this budget crisis in terms of our financing, our state finances, that they will take up those resolutions and have hearings on it. And again, the key, I would tell the youth members of the LaRouche Youth Movement who are listening, that Steve Tabachman is our majority floor leader, who's a Democrat, who's from the city of Detroit, who's had massive foreclosure, and he was a housing, who's an expert on housing and low and nonprofit housing. And I would urge you to stick a fork in him and get him to start to move.
And Juanita, in Missouri, likewise, you were leading the charge there in the western part of the industrial belt of the country.
Right, and I did introduce that in our House, and we have a very conservative legislature and state. My House, Senate, and governor are all Republicans and felt that the legislation was too far-stretching and was just asking for too much. So I did have people from the auto industry there in Jefferson City in support of the legislation, but could not get the movement there in terms of our leadership.
Let me say this, too. Also, Juanita and I did introduce that to the National Black Conference of State Legislature, where it was adopted and passed nationally.
Right.
I introduced it, and Juanita was a co-sponsor and helped move it through the process. It did pass the NBCSL. It wasn't all for naught, and it was on the record, and we reintroduced that because it's still the auto crisis still is, and we have all these empty factories and ability to retool and put people to work in a Roosevelt-esque type fashion.
That's right. If we could tomorrow get what you're calling for passed, this Homeowners and Bank Protection Act, nationally, that's still only interim. We've got to have an economy,
exactly. We have to have an economy. And we have, this was the arsenal of democracy here. And we talk about the Midwest, you talk about the auto industry. You know, it's, as Juanita, as you mentioned earlier, Juanita has in her district representation from the, or had representation from the auto industry. The entire Midwest was not just Detroit and not just Michigan. If you were talking about Toledo, Ohio, which is a 45 minutes away from the city, and Indiana, I mean, it's a whole region. And so if we can get a national policy to retool the auto industry and start making and putting manufacturing again and stop sending all the manufacturing positions overseas, American can once again become a competitor.
Well, Lamar, you keep talking about Franklin Roosevelt, and I think it's important because Lyndon LaRouche is obviously realizes he's fighting the same war that Roosevelt was fighting. When Roosevelt released his idea of the New Deal, it's documented that he was thinking about the American Declaration of Independence and the American Constitution.
Right.
That he was really, he knew that the enemies of the United States then, and what we're looking at with the hedge funds today, located in the Cayman Islands, these big speculator bankers that are just acting as parasites and predators on the United States economy, these guys are essentially the foot soldiers of the British Empire. The British have a strategy to move towards a globalized economy that has no sovereign nation states, that the idea that a government like the American government could protect the general welfare of the American population is the primary responsibility of government. They think that that's got to be thrown out the window. And so the fight that we've got on a broader scale, I think there was a production of the LaRouche Show on this a few weeks ago. It might be archived that people could listen to, is a fight for the spirit of the American Republic, that this form of government and this idea of a system of economics for the common man is something that we will save. I think it's really very important to realize that all over the country now, we do have people moving in the spirit of Franklin Roosevelt and thinking like you're expressing.
Right. And I'll just throw out here on the enemy front, there has never been, I don't think, such a deployment on Capitol Hill of the PR firms of these hedge funds you've all been exposing, the parasites. They've hired a group, the Ogilvy Group, and all of that.
And we need to expose that and expose that to the citizenry that, you know, these special interest groups, you know, when Republicans say special interest group, they mean labor unions. And when we say special interest group, we mean these people offshore, hedge funds. We mean these special interests outside of the United States, who are parasitical to our economy and to the well-being of American citizens.
And in your respective, in your part of the world you've just talked about, because, of course, you legislators have today, the panel is Philadelphia, Detroit, and St. Louis. Couldn't be more the heart of the country.
Right.
But Mr. LaRouche, a few hours ago, Lamar was addressing a group of students on retreat for the weekend in Michigan, the LaRouche Youth Movement, and he also hit on agriculture. And he said the agro-industrial center, that's your state too, Missouri, where you have food processing, Michigan. That the kind of things you need to retool the machinery for agriculture, that's, you've got that coming up too, right, Lamar, in Lansing, and you've got it in Missouri.
Yes, right. Indeed. Well, Michigan is a very large agricultural state, and at one point it was the one of the largest lumber states in the nation as well.
And this is Representative Walton. I'm going to have to sign off at this time, but I am so glad to be there and be a part of the discussion and realize that we do have a crisis in this country that need to be addressed, and people need to wake up and make phone calls and stand up and do something, because nothing's happening. Not enough.
Okay, thank you. And we want you on again when we get this initiated in Washington. Thank you for all you're doing, Juanita.
Okay, thank you.
Talk to you again soon. And Lamar still here?
Yeah,
Lamar
I'm still
Lemons.
Here. I'm still here for the next 10 minutes.
That's right. From speaking to us from Detroit, and Matt Ogden here in the LaRouche Youth Movement. So we do have the remaining 10 minutes. And I can throw questions out that are coming in. But if you want to add something right now, Matt, go ahead.
Well, I'll just make one thing clear that Mr. LaRouche was saying earlier this week, that too much in the United States over the past few decades, there's been a demoralization of the common man who believe that there's a conditioned behavior, that they have to wait for permission from more important authorities to act. And people have begun to live too much in a go-along-to-get-along attitude. But I think the broader significance of what we're hearing on the phone line here today and what we see with the resolutions that are coming from all over the country and the endorsements is that this go-along-to-get-along dynamic is now being rejected. It's being bucked by large groups of the American population. And they've begun to reject the kind of conditioned behavior that you have to wait for permission from some more important authority to act. And now we see the potential, really, for what could be a real mass movement from all over the country, a mass movement demanding that the Congress fight for the general welfare, like you've been saying, Lamar. So I see a real revolution from all over the country, and not just a specific action, but something that will really change the paradigm of how the American person thinks about his role in even the political fight.
And Lamar, you're still there, right?
I screwed up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lamar got disconnected, but I think the point is, I hope we'll have our studio reconnect him, and Matt can continue. Matt, on this map, you were saying that the LaRouche Youth Movement is deployed all over. I'm literally looking at Texas, Nevada, Washington State, Oregon, Sacramento, California. Do you want to fill some of that in?
Well, I think the important thing, the people that listening to the show probably know that LaRouche's webcast is coming up this October 10th, this coming Wednesday. Marcia mentioned it in the beginning of the show. And in some of the places where the LaRouche Youth Movement has done this brand new, really massive outreach into these layers of the government, layers of the population, and contacting people who our organization has never been in contact with before, really, we're now trying to create this broad map, create a live dialogue with representatives from all over the country with Mr. LaRouche while he speaks in Washington on Wednesday. So I know in Rhode Island already, we have a room that's been reserved in the Rhode Island State House prepared for state legislators and all other people in Providence to come and participate live in LaRouche's webcast in Rhode Island, right in the State House itself. A lot of the people who are on the line, I think, listening to the show, could do work in their states. Wherever you are, you could get a room set up in the State House, in your local State House, or maybe City Council, to watch the webcast by LaRouche live at 1 o'clock on Wednesday.
Right, and let me give you the toll-free number inside the United States to call. Call 1-800-929-7566. That's 1-800-929-7566. Or, of course, you're going to see where all the particulars on the webcast at www.larouchepac.com, LaRouchePac.com. And do we have Lamar back on the line?
We certainly do.
Good. And I'm sorry about that. And Matt Ogden was just filling in some of the national map from Rhode Island to Sacramento, California, where there's State House activity. But on this principle that he was speaking about, Lamar, when you were cut off, about it's really a revolutionary period of uptake on emergency action that we need in the country, even though you've got Lamar yourself plus your three generations of fighters for this. Do you see, you still see, despite these setbacks, potential really to make the shift in time, do you think?
Yeah, of course. You know, some people will be late. They won't believe that the economy has no clothes until they feel the chill.
Well, Lamar, you know, I want to make a pitch here on there. Probably this calendar year, we're looking at 2,025,000 home foreclosure filings. It's an explosion. And so I think maybe some people might be able to feel the chill.
Right. And, so if enough and the right people feel the chill, and if they put the pressure on those who they elected to represent them, then we can expect this most expeditious action on that. Otherwise, it will still languish, and people will be in denial about it's not that bad, or et cetera, or refer to us as alarmist or something. But see, for me, it's not a matter of being an alarmist. I look, when I walk out my door, I see the reality.
Right. And then you're speaking of Ohio, Indiana, over the border, Ontario. This is an international...
It is indeed an international crisis. Speaking of across the border, one half a mile from me is south of me, a little quirk. South of me is the nation of Canada, Windsor, the city of Windsor, Canada, Windsor, Ontario. And the dollar is now equal to the loonie. And which I think they refer to their dollar as the loony,
right?
Which I think is loony. And so, spending power for the American over here has also been sharply reduced. At the same time, wages, even with the UAW's renegotiated contract, are being greatly cut, and the value of the dollar has been going down. At the same time, the mortgages and the prices of the cost of living is going up. So your value, your spending power is going down. The value of the dollar is going down. The economy is going down. So when will they really feel the chill, realize that this economy has no clothes?
Is it your understanding, too, Lansing or the city of Detroit or any of the other areas and cities and counties, there is more perception that this is hyperinflation, whether it's food.
Most definitely. There is more, but most people don't know what the answer is. But again, as he was referring to, Matt was referring to earlier, about people were looking for those who they perceive as greater than them to come up with a solution, not realizing that they have to take the power themselves. They have a solution within them to take action to change their own conditions.
I'll tell you, Lamar, the Lansing City Council was very affected by the resolution HR 190 that you guys have circulating in the Michigan State House right now. Mm-hmm. They invited members of the LaRouche Youth Movement to come testify mm-hmm. in front of a committee hearing of the Lansing City Council. And the LaRouche Youth Movement presented the concepts of the Homeowners and Bank Protection Act and made the point that this is a real problem that cities across the country have to solve. One of the city councilmen realized how big it was. He said, "You're talking about changing the entire system. That's really big. I agree with everything you're saying, but this is big." But when they saw the resolution coming from the State House and they saw the 21 co-signers on that resolution already, mm-hmm. that affected them a lot. And they said that this is going to be a positive factor influencing their decision about if they're going to support the Homeowners and Bank Protection Act.
And you'll see Detroit. Pontiac is already gone. You'll see Detroit to come up next. And because I have my relationship with several other council members, and I can get them to introduce this as a resolution.
Sounds like we got a fighter on our side.
Yeah.
And I think that on the continuing plans, Matt, we still have a minute or two left. I'll say again in the closing time that October 10th, that's this coming Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, is the LaRouche webcast on dealing. Now's the time to deal with the greatest crash in modern history. And this is interactive. Mr. LaRouche will be based in Washington, D.C., but you can participate, you can set up meetings, and that will be broadcast, webcast, on www.larouchepac.com. And all of the data and new graphics as ammunition for you, Lamar, and everyone else will be available in a couple days on www.larouchepub.com, an Executive Intelligence Review news service. We've had new quantification of the rate of home foreclosures, where it is, what's the map, including a report on Ground Zero, Loudoun County in Virginia, but the whole national picture. So the final words I'll give to Matt, and then you can sign off, Lamar.
It's good to hear that we had the three representatives of this broad group that we have now involved all around the country. This reminds me of the kind of broad-reaching network of elected officials that Franklin Roosevelt put together to form his team when he came into the government. It was his apparatus of recovery. So I think we have a good start.
And Lamar, you'll agree with that?
Not only do I agree with that, but we've got to make sure the presidential candidates, particularly the Democratic, but both parties, are addressing these issues. I hear everything about 9/11 and who's going to, prevent the next 9/11, but I hear nothing about the 9/11 that's happening to our economy. I hear nothing about what's happening in Katrina. I hear nothing about the banking. So we've got to make sure that these are the issues being addressed by the presidential candidate.
Right. You'll be setting the standard. And thank you for participating, Lamar Lemons, very much. Matt Ogden and those who have gone, Representative Harold James, Pennsylvania, Representative Juanita Walton in Missouri. And next week, October 13th, Harley Schlanger and a panel of guests on the latest developments. And do listen October 10th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to the webcast. Thank you all very much. This is the October 6th LaRouche Show signing off. This is Marcia Mary. It's 2007, and thank you for listening.